Blog Talk Radio. Everyone, and welcome to Chai Chat. I'm Mary Rockenstein, and I want to welcome you to our show. If you're a new listener, welcome. If you've listened before, that's great. Hope you're enjoying the content. And speaking of content, I want to introduce my co-host and the person who is really the brains behind the show. Say hello to Victoria Vitier.
Oh, thank you for your kind words. Hi, everybody. Good morning, Mary. We've got a great show, and we are also going to look at some past shows, too. Right, Mary?
We do, but before that, Victoria, do you know what today is?
You know, I'm not sure what today is.
Well, besides Election Day in a couple of states, it's March 15th, and, you know, I always remember that as a kid being the Ides of March 2 days before St. Patrick's Day. But you know what the significance? I had to look this up. I'm such a curious geek. It's like I had to look this up. Do you know
what
the
Ides
of
exactly
March
either.
Commemorates?
No. What is it?
Okay. Well, I guess it used to be, you know, tied to a full moon some time ago. But more recently, the fable is that it is actually a commemoration of the day that Julius Caesar was assassinated back in 44 B.C., Now, I think this is kind of ironic because you remember he was the dictator of what was then the Roman Republic, and apparently his Roman senators all got together and decided that he was becoming too powerful, and I guess they were afraid that he was going to boot them out of their jobs, so they killed him. And, you know, I was thinking about, boy, did they need some chai chat and enlightened leadership, didn't they?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, indeed.
Isn't that horrible?
Shows,
but
too bad we weren't broadcasting back then.
I know.
But
I was thinking,
thank goodness
it's like,
we have human resources now and things
Yeah, talk
like
about
that,
a workplace
you know.
That needed transformed. Holy cow. Well, anyway.
My goodness.
Well,
yeah.
Again, if you're new to our show, just a quick walk down memory lane. We started this a few months ago because as Victoria and I started talking and collaborating, we really came to a similar conclusion, and that is, you know, our workforces, our workplaces – really need to undergo some transformation. And if you've listened to any of our archived broadcasts, you know that we have mentioned on just about every show, haven't we, Victoria, the Gallup research engagement numbers?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they're disappointingly low. We don't have to keep rehashing it, but basically 70% of the workforce is coming to work every day in some zombie-like state, not fully engaged. So we decided to, again, create a show that was really dedicated to transforming our worlds at work. And we, you know, we've brought together a number of topics so far. We've, you know, we've talked about enlightened leaders and the impact that they really do make in the workplace, and there really are some great enlightened leaders out there. But you know what, Victoria, I think my favorite show, one of my favorite shows so far, was the show where we talked about the ideal model for living, the Be, Do, Have. Remember that one?
Yeah, I mean, we
talked about being authentic, doing from our purpose so we can have abundance. And that is a very different way of living from what most of us experience, which is the do, have, be. We're going to do things so we can have stuff and then be happy. And, you know, I'm just going to put in a plug. You've probably heard us before. Victoria has a wonderful book that she published last year called Enlightenment Appetizers, and there's some wonderful information in there where she really talks about that Be, Do, Have model for living. So if you haven't purchased that book, I would highly encourage you. You will not regret that. You know, we then kicked off the new year with two powerful intentions, authenticity and alignment. And, you know, I kind of chuckle when I think about these, Victoria, because, you know, we are in the midst of, you know, a political season. We're in the midst of primary elections leading to, you know, the major election coming up in the fall. And how many times have we heard either news broadcasters make the comment, or we've witnessed it ourselves with candidates on either side of the aisle truly not being authentic and not either being in alignment with their party's platform or with what they said 5 minutes ago. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Have you seen that as well?
Well, absolutely, and that doesn't mean that people can't change their minds. It's just helpful if they let us know that they did.
Yeah, yeah. But again, you can tell the candidates who are truly trying to be authentic, and I think they are few and far between, versus those that are just, you know, which way is the wind blowing today. But, and then, you know, of course, I think one of the best shows that we've had so far, and if you're listening in, either live or on archive, and you missed our show, our last show with Tim Sanders, boy, that is one worth going back and listening to. Tim, as you may know, is a best-selling author. In fact, the very day that we taped our show with Tim, he had just released his latest book called Deal Storming. And our topic was really about moving from a state of me to we. And, you know, another way of thinking about that is moving from competition to collaboration. And that, I think, is desperately needed in the workplace. And Tim really gave us some good thoughts about that. So this all leads us to and kind of sets the stage for our topic this morning, which honestly is one of my favorites, ego states. You know, several years ago, someone pointed out Dr. Eric Byrne's research to me, and, you know, it's called transactional analysis, and that sounded like, oh, my gosh, you know, I'm not sure I can really get my arms around this, but when I really looked at what it was, I thought, oh, my goodness, I see this going on all the time. You know, he determined that in any given time, we have various ego states that we can tap into and that we do tap into when we communicate, and, you know, depending upon which ego state we use and depending upon the ego state that the person that we're communicating with uses, we could have just great, very effective, very professional communication, or it can be a train wreck in the making. And so today we're going to talk about, introduce the ego states and really drive, to talk about when we're driving to work every day, we've really got a car full of egos, don't we, Victoria? And I'm going to toss this over to you because I can't wait for you to explain this to our listeners.
Yes, indeed. I'm picturing that. I've got a visual going, and I am hoping that the adult is the one with their hands on the wheel. However, or the parent, perhaps. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and this topic, as you're going to see, you know, everyone, is so terribly foundational to functioning, period, and any relational functioning. But particularly in the workplace, you know, we were just chatting before the show, and you know, when there is a dysfunctional situation going on at your workplace or in your interaction at your workplace, you know that there is a regressed ego state, and I'll explain what that means here in a minute, you know, sort of loose in the room. And everything that we have talked about so far with all the shows that Mary so eloquently reviewed have to do with are being able to function in an adult ego state. Now, you know, let's take a look and see if that's really what we're in as we talk about these states. And again, it's these states exist within us. They are sort of conscious, unconscious, you know, states of functioning within us, and they also exist in everyone so that we are at all times working with these ego states, whether we're conscious of it or not, within ourselves, our own psyche, but also between us and another person who we're communicating with. Now, I'm just going to lay this out for you, and there's a slide that's coming through that you can actually see the ego states pictured on the slideshow that we put up, plus some other fun slides that I came up with that hopefully you'll enjoy as I articulate what these states are. The three primary ego states that Eric Byrne proposed in his transactional analysis theory are parent, adult, and child. I'm going, however, to throw in a fourth one here for you called teen, which is an interesting one. So, you know, in my working with this over the years, I've learned and been able to sort of feed in some other angles on these, and one of them is the teen, and I'll show you how that works in a minute. But first of all, I just want to let you know that each state is pretty clear in terms of its functioning. Adult, of course, is a neutral executive function kind of state, and it's the state that you're in when you're pumping gas into your car or grocery shopping or, you know, writing out your to-do list or whatever you're doing that's a pretty neutral executive function aspect of your adult life. But then there are these other states that you can slip into from time to time without your knowing. And one of the main purposes of today's show is to get you to help hopefully help you to understand when you're in these ego states and to appreciate how they function and to see whether or not you would be better in alignment with the situation to adjust your functioning to a different ego state rather than the one you happen to find yourself in. Awareness is always key to change in anything in your life,
yeah.
And particularly with this topic, right, Mary?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because we'll help you take situations apart, unravel them, and understand, oh, my goodness, that's why, you know, this thing went bad in a heartbeat. You know, what really happened there? This is so helpful, this information. So the parent ego state has two elements to it. One is a nurturing parent. The other one is a critical or controlling aspect of the parent. And we've learned all these. We've interjected, as they say in Psychobabble Land, from our parents and from ways that we were parented. So we pick up parenting aspects from our own life experience. And we also pick up child aspects and teen aspects from our own life experience. But the parent has two aspects. One is a nurturing function, and the other one is a critical or controlling function. Again, when these are applied to oneself, they would look something, you know, like this. You make, you know, an error on something, and you say, oh, my, you know, it's because I didn't get too much sleep last night. Gee, I'm going to take better care of myself, and tonight I'm going to get more sleep so that I'm not kind of sloppy in my thinking like I just was. Good thing I caught that. The other way to parent yourself in that situation could be, oh, you big dummy, look at the screw-up you just did. Okay, that would be a critical, controlling parenting self projection.
Hey, Victoria.
Yeah,
I got a question for you that
okay.
some of our listeners may be thinking about then. So that's very interesting. I was aware that there were the two states, but based on what you were just saying, so what if you grew up in a very dysfunctional environment where the only parent ego state that was available to you in your own parent was a very critical, controlling one? Would that mean then, as an adult, physiologically speaking, not ego state,
sure.
that might
mm-hmm.
be the only parent model that we go to?
It might be the predominant parent model that you go to, the one that's
okay.
most reflexive, unless you have done some work on yourself. And,
huh.
you know, many of us have been in, you know, various forms of, you know, counseling or self-reflection or personal development, self-help, et cetera. And that's how we learn to kind of deal with our experience and to shift those patterns that maybe we didn't like so much the first time and we want to change them in our lives. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
thanks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so that's what the parent ego state looks like. And then, of course, I mentioned the adult is pretty neutral and executive functioning. Child looks like two kind of aspects. One would be childlike, and one would be childish. Now, childlike would look like spontaneity, curiosity, excitement, you know, this very, very kind of awestruck, very sort of free and exploratory aspect of the child, what we like most when we're around kids. They're very sort of free and inquisitive, and that's the childlike aspect of child ego state. The childish one is the one that, you know, can be self-centered, needy, manipulative, you know, take all the toys, you know, throw the sand in the sandbox, et cetera, et cetera. Have a meltdown when they're late for their nap, things like that. And I'm sure you, no one out there, you know, is relating to their supposed adult functioning now, but, you know, really, this hidden child is in there. And when you are stressed, oftentimes we will regress to childish behavior, and we don't even realize it, but we're sort of sitting there in adult clothes, but we're really about 3 or 5 years old. So these ego states are prevalent and functional all day long. I mean, we come in and out of these. They exist subconsciously and sometimes consciously if we've done enough self-work. And let me get to the fourth one, which is teen. Now, that one's a very interesting one, which I've sort of added to in my studies have added to Eric Burns' work. And the teen is sort of a little bit older child, but the teen shows up like this. The teen can have 1 foot in the boat and 1 foot on the dock, which is they want their independence, but yet they're needy. So that's what a teen can look like. It can look like talk to the hand.
Mm-hmm.
It can look like whatever. It can look like an eye roll, which is a nonverbal. It can look like giving the finger to somebody.
Wow.
That's sort of the teen aspect of functioning. It's reflexive. It's reactive. Not a whole lot of forethought. Old enough to cause you some trouble in
mm-hmm.
your interpersonal relationships if you happen to flip to teen somewhere in the what should be the adult interaction. So, just kind of giving you a feel for these ego states, and I'm sure you're starting to realize that, gee whiz, I thought I was an adult, all the time, just because, I wear adult-sized clothes and I go to an adult supposedly work role and, I'm driving on the road with other supposed adults. But as you know, and you've observed in other people, and perhaps now you're reflecting on your own behavior, that there are times we do slip out of gear, out of adult gear, and into these other ego states. And I'll tell you that in adult gear, there's not much feeling involved in adult gear. It's pretty much a functioning, neutral kind of emotional place. When you are feeling a lot of emotions, trust me, one of these other ego states is there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so when emotion enters in, you know that you're being pulled off your adult functioning track and into another ego state, which could be your aggressed one and get you into trouble if you don't. If you aren't able to recognize that and think first, before you respond. So these ego states, and I'll just kind of give you a visual. When you cut down a tree, there are rings in the tree, and those rings are physically indicative of the lives of the development of that tree as it grew. Well, we are kind of like that, too. If you could slice the psyche and you look inside the human psyche, you would realize that we, too, are reflective in this moment of all of our experience that has come prior to this. And Mary brought up a very good question earlier. Gee, what if I grew up in a household where as a little kid, there was a lot of controlling parenting going on, not much nurturing and a lot of criticism. Well, that would color the rings of your tree as you were growing up. That doesn't mean that those can't be healed, adjusted, corrected as you develop as an adult, but they have to be dealt with at some level, and it's the ones that are unconscious that can get you into trouble because you're not aware of it. It's important to look at your own life, and it's important to understand where you came from, the styles of parenting that you experienced when you were growing up, and to decide for yourself now in your adult, phase of your life, okay, how do I want to, exhibit parenting in my life? How do I want to, be the child aspect of me? Because I'm going to slip into this. Do I want to be childlike or do I want to throw the sand and run away with all the blocks and be childish?
That's so important because here's what really happens, right? If I elect to communicate with you in a very childish, very
mm-hmm.
rebellious, very self-centered,
mm-hmm.
Kind of frame of mind or mode, you're not going to respond to me unless you put an awful lot of thought into it and have an awful lot of self-control and you're very, very self-aware of ego state. You're likely to respond in a very similar manner or
Bingo.
Maybe even a controlling parent, but it's not going to be a healthy conversation, right?
Bingo, yeah. And, that's the thing. When we are addressed in a way that has a lot of emotion in it, that can be very triggering to us. And before we know it, there is a regressed ego state response that is going to sort of come up reflexively for us and may, kind of fly out of our mouth before we even know it as a rebuttal, as a sort of survival response to what it was that came toward us. So this can get kind of out of control and crazy, pretty quickly for people who don't have the ability to kind of hit the brake and get into their adult self and go, wow, that was an interesting comment that my colleague just made. They seem to be they feel very passionately about this subject, So it's really important to be able to do this.
Yeah, it occurs to me that I think we spend a lot of time in the business world thinking about what we're going to communicate, what do people need to know, and then perhaps who needs to know it. And I think equally as important really is the how we communicate. I was talking to a client a few weeks ago, and he was very troubled by, I was trying to coach him in a fashion, and he was very troubled by some communication that he had expressed to his leadership team. And
mm-hmm.
He expressed it to me in a very childlike way. And he was very
mm-hmm.
upset that what he communicated to the team wasn't taken very seriously and it wasn't received very well, you know, and I said to him, well, I just have to say, let me step out of coaching for a minute, but if you communicated to them in the same way in which you just communicated to me now, totally understand why you got the response that you did. Because he was just focusing on the message, the literal word. He wasn't really focusing or owning his behavior or the way in which, the how in which he communicated it.
And that is a really great example because, for instance, what you were looking at there and dealing with and coaching this person in retrospect and looking at that situation is that you noticed, from what I heard you say, is that he was kind of presenting as a child looking for validation.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely,
he's not aware of that. And
right,
I would venture to say, as a psychologist and having done years of this in the chair, that this is probably a person who, as a child, did not receive much validation for
yeah,
his self-worth.
Yeah.
And still
yeah,
is searching the world in his jobs, in his personal relationships, to find that validation outside of himself. This is
yeah,
some of the powerful work that I do with people in the coaching that I do with them. And then obviously, you know, Mary, you do too, as you hear people relate situations from their work world and they're completely unaware of the way in which they came off. The man was not at all aware that you saw a child sitting in front of you in his style of, you know, and again, let's look at an example where somebody could come off like a teen, you know, sort of flip and, you know, offhand and, you know, maybe not too respectful, et cetera, as teens typically are, you know, trying to sort of, you know, stretch themselves and figure out what is an adult, you know, and how does an adult behave and how do they act and, you know, and they aren't. They don't have a whole lot of life experience behind how they act a lot of times. And we can be that way, too, in a situation where we really should be acting as an adult. We are maybe acting a bit regressed, like a teen might act.
Yeah, and it isn't just the words either, is it? And how we say it, it's
no,
our body
no,
language has a lot to
completely,
do with.
Especially,
yeah.
Yeah, and especially in, you know, and again, you can take any of these and take a look. And I've put some fun slides up there for people. Hopefully you're chuckling as you're looking at the slides go past if you're sitting in front of a monitor listening to this show. But I've got, you know, a little kid behind, you know, an executive desk. I've got, you know, sort of somebody pointing the finger at another person. I've got, you know, a picture of a couple of people there. The teen one is the one where the guy is balancing a pencil on his nose and the other lady is looking up in exasperation. And you can imagine, you know, there are times in our work worlds when we've kind of sort of looked like these people that I've put up
yeah,
here on the slides.
Yeah.
And indeed, the rings of the tree will tell you that if you are not aware of and sort of in charge of your ego states, they are going, the tail will wag the dog.
Yeah.
And you will do something that you may not be happy about later when you when you
yeah,
think, oh, my goodness, I should probably have said that differently.
Yeah.
But again, let me just give a shout out to the teen ego state for just a second, because these aren't like bad and good. There are times when it's very important for us to acknowledge that what I call the shadow side or the regressed side of some of these states, because if you have a part of you, like this example with the man who was looking for validation outside of himself with his, you know, teammates or his boss, he needs to get to work on validating himself. He needs to
right,
get to work on being able to build his own self-worth from within himself, because that's
right,
where the inner parent needs to learn how to nurture the inner child. So remember
right,
before I said these are intrapersonal functions that are going on inside of you all the time. So many times we are looking to another person to parent us, and that can create real problems.
Yeah.
Teens
yeah,
act out when they want to be parented because they're afraid. There's one foot in the boat and one on the dock, and they really don't quite know what they're doing, and they're mad about that. A child can act out because they're afraid.
Yeah.
So when we are in these regressed states for any reason, you know, we are going to trigger, you know, like you said, someone else to show up in a role that's maybe not exactly an adult role themselves. So we've got to look at these functions. The key here in this show, as we're talking about these folks, is awareness. We want you to think about these things, and this isn't a bunch of psychobabble and some fancy schmancy, you know, name for a theory. These are ways that the human psyche functions, whether you like it or not. You have been through your whole life's worth of experience, and it has affected you.
Yep.
The parents that you've had and the ways that your elders in school and the community you've experienced them have affected you. And this isn't bad or good. It's just we all come from somewhere and we all grow up and we mature in certain ways. And sometimes we get stuck because certain traumas or certain experiences which we found emotionally traumatic, like being criticized or controlled or bullied or whatever, stick in our psyche. And if we don't understand where that's coming from and where we need to shore ourselves up inside and nurturingly parent ourselves, we are going to be in trouble because we're going to act it out. And
yeah.
So will the other people in our environment act it out in response to us or in reaction
Absolutely.
To us.
Absolutely. And I
so
think
awareness is the key. Yeah.
Yeah, and we could, I mean, oh my gosh, the time has flown because we could talk about this for easily another half an hour or hour. But, Victoria, why don't you tell everybody about our next show, because I think we're going to have a continuation, and I think we've got some good stuff planned.
Well, and we are going to end the show in our typical way and give you a home play. There's never any homework, but we do home play. So your home play is simply to become familiar with your own ego states. Like, what is likely to trigger regression for you? When do you likely slip into a critical or controlling inner parent, or a childish kid that's going to throw the blocks or throw the sand, or a rebellious teen that's going to go, you know, whatever, you know, talk to the hand or give the finger or whatever, worse. So we would like you to think about these. Maybe jot them down. Watch yourself over the next couple of weeks. We're going to do our next show on, what, the 29th, Mary? So it gives you guys a couple of weeks to play with these concepts, to watch them emerge in your life. And we'd like you to email us with your workplace ego state dilemma, so that maybe we can break it down and give some great suggestions in our next show, because we want to make the world a better place and create new worlds at work. And we'll do that if you let us know what you'd like us to address and help you with. And, of course, we will always, you know, we will never mention specifics or anything. We will simply do, an analysis of certain really great real-world situations out there for people. And we're going to bring in some ourselves. So next time we're going to see when the rubber meets the road with ego states at work. Right, Mary?
Absolutely. And I just want to wish everybody happy Ides of March, happy St. Patrick's Day, and if your state primary is today or coming up, go vote. Go exercise your right to vote and vote.
Absolutely. And by the way, we want you to follow us on Blog Talk Radio. Click follow so you'll never miss a show. And share our shows with people, because these are some really important things that we want to share with you. And we hope that our audience grows and that more people get a chance to think about transforming their world at work. And we're going to go out with some special music. Okay, you guys, get ready to dance. All right. Bye-bye.